We always give an opportunity for saints to maybe comment and share some thoughts or anything the Lord may have indicated as we seek to walk in transparency before Him and towards one another. So, go ahead, Mark. You had something in mind?
Yeah, just real quickly, I thought it was interesting. The first passage that you read from was Colossians chapter 1. And in verse 13, it talks about the kingdom of God's beloved Son. And then verse 16 talks about the thrones. We know that includes Satan's throne, but I thought it was interesting that when you see the word kingdom, it automatically implies throne. So in that passage, we have both God's throne and Satan's throne together, even though in the verse 13, it didn't use the word throne, but the fact that God's kingdom, yeah, it's there. Also, I don't know if it was brought up, but definitely Billheimer's book, Destined for the Throne, needs to be reread, oh, I can tell. So I know that I'll be doing here soon.
Yeah. Well, we need to find it. Yeah, I want to read that again too.
Yeah.
It's been 30 years.
And I'll put a link on the website.
Yeah.
And of course, his book, Destined for the Throne, he did a complimentary book called Don't Waste Your Sorrows. Right. All of our sorrows and tribulations are all in view of that throne. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I always have a wonderful time of prayer and talking with my stepsister. So I did yesterday, and the first thing, one of the first things out of her mouth, I've kept her updated about what's been going on here for the past few years, and we've been praying together about situations and stuff. So she said, well, the Lord gave me some verses. She's always real cute and always has verses the Lord gives to her. And she says, it's out of Judges. I thought, oh, dear. And so, but it was spot on. And so I thought about that as you're reading the scriptures today. you probably figured out Judges 2 and 21 and or 20, 21, just the state of the church, really. Because how is it that we have fallen and allowed this satanic throne to be in our midst in the church? And so Judges really speaks to that because of Israel. Once they got in the land, they were disobedient and just settled down and cohabited with the enemy. And so it says, so the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not listened to my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, in order to test Israel by them. And that's what she said.
Yeah.
She said, I think, maybe you think, I mean, she's real, always real humble. Do you think that was would apply? Oh yeah, thank you, Diane. And she said, in order to test Israel by them, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk in it as their fathers did or not. So the Lord allowed those nations to remain, not driving them out quickly, and he did not give them into the hand of Joshua.
Wow.
And so that was my personal history coming out of DID is, you know, I mean, how many times would you go into a hand-to-hand combat with Satan and it was just until God just finally said, this is a heart issue. I'm like, whoa. All right. Deuteronomy 30:2. And if I come to my mind, call to my mind where God has scattered me, where God has sent me to these nations, where he has kept me captive, is God, it's not Satan. And so where he has done this, then if I return to him with my whole heart, oh God, I'm my whole heart here. And he's like, it doesn't matter. You're one person. Oh, I see you as one person. You have the capability to cry out to me right now. And so that's what I did. And when I did that, man, oh man, things, God just took control in, and he's shown me the bond with the Son, you know, all these different strongholds corporately. And it was like I was taking the lead and you were frothing at the mouth half the time. And I'm like, no, I know this is where we're going here. And so, And things then before, it was like you were taking the sledgehammer and pounding me, where then when, and what I call flipping, then it was like, no, my heart now is here. And it wasn't here.
You learned what it meant to begin to cooperate more with the Lord.
Well, I knew because the unbelief.
Yeah.
There was the unbelief, the idolatry, coming into that deep, deep repentance of what that looked like and what we were talking about before. So those were real key things to really bringing down the satanic throne. I didn't even know that's what we were dealing with until God revealed it again. And he revealed it. He showed me his satanic throne, the incest link with the Father, at the bond of the new birth. That was all blown out, made a container, and then poof, I had he had capacitated me enough to take the land, capacitation, then going in and taking down that. And now where I think we are corporately as a church has been very similar process in capacitating us corporately, bringing us all on the same page corporately, bringing us into that heart cry corporately, to be able to bring this thing down corporately.
Yeah.
To be able to take it down through our ascension union with his throne. And so I just really praise God for that. And my dear little sister, who has not any near understanding, I don't tell her all the details of what we're dealing with, but I've given her a skeletal thing. And then, and so she says, do you think this is applicable? She's so cute. Thank you, Diane.
Really, that's providential.
It was.
That's a kingdom sighting, as Jack Taylor would say.
Yeah, she does that a lot with me, and so we really pray together about this.
Yeah.
She's a great prayer warrior. All right.
Just a
look at the back 1080.
Okay. Just that passage, I want to just comment just the first few verses in Judges. One of the things I didn't mention is that yesterday, just for survival, through all this, I thought the Lord has prompted me to reread, and it's been some time since I read it, David's Mighty Men and Attaining Unto the First Three. This is found in the article section, AustinSparks.net, articles. Attaining Unto the First Three and David's Mighty Men, which really was I can go on, because everything in you said this, I don't know how we can go on in this anymore. I said, no, we choose to go on and give God just another opportunity to demonstrate his faithfulness. We just continue to go on, and he always comes through and gives definition. So in Attaining Unto the First Three, Mr. Sparks talks about there are the mighty men there, but there are different levels of attaining. And he didn't say this, but I thought about the soils, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. All three of those would be David's mighty men. But 100-fold represents attaining unto the first three. Wow. I read that to Lori. She wasn't in a place she wanted to hear anything. I said, no, I'll read it to you. She's next to the door of Sheol. So we just said, well, we'll just read this. She's out there cooking. I'm holding the computer reading it out loud to her. So that was pretty amazing, just to see that renewal of vision. Wow. And there was another one I read. I've forgotten it right now. But I want to go back to this passage, Sally and Judges. The very fact that it says in Joshua, there's very much more land to be taken. And even though they had distributed a possession, there's still remnants of the hybrids that have not been killed off. And it's very clear in Judges they were not all killed off. All the hybrids were not. So the seed is still under threat. Even though the predominant area have been expelled, there's still remnants that need to be dealt with. And so the very fact that after Joshua passed off the scene, there is those elements within the children of Israel that are not really have a heart for that inheritance. They don't want it. So it says, Judges 2, now the angel of the Lord, that's Jesus, came up from Gilgal, place of circumcision, putting off the flesh, to Bochim, or the place of weeping, and he said, I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land which I have sworn to your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you, God's faithfulness. As for you, you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land. You shall tear down their altars. That was reinforced in Deuteronomy 7. Look at it. Tear them down. Destroy them. Tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed me. What is this you have done? You know, it's really wonderful when you read the prophets, you see God is such an amazing personality. I mean, he really is the most amazing person, you know, when you think about how he always interrelating and connecting with his people, as we see in divine inspired word. Therefore I said, I will not dry them out before you. You are not be obedient. Therefore I will not dry them out before you, like I promised. But they shall become as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare to you. Wow. Disobedience just does not pay. And it came about when the angel of the Lord, pre-incarnate manifestation of Jesus Christ, that's referred to as a Christophany, he spoke these words to all the sons of Israel, that the people lifted up their voices and wept. That's Bochim, verse 1, wept. And so they named the place Bochim, and there they sacrificed to the Lord. They went through the motions, but they never repented. They didn't repent. So Judges is, it's one of the most depressing books in the Bible, but we see God's always faithful. We see them coming into prosperity. They become slack and they begin to go into idolatry and they go into idolatry. They go into slavery and they become enslaved in their misery. They start crying out to the Lord. They cry out to the Lord for a long time. God raises up judges and they come into a place of ascendancy and blessing, and these cycles over and over and over again. And I think what we see throughout the book of Judges is probably similar cycles throughout the church age. And it wasn't till a king came on the scene. And Samuel was the bridge person between judges, who he was the last of the judges and the first of the prophets, and he set the stage for the king. And David was the king that finally came to the place to bring the people into a place of stability and kingdom reality. So the Old Testament is really a tremendous picture of in many ways, and how he's dealt with the church throughout the last 2,000 years. So, anything else? Oh, go ahead.
I was thinking about that wonderful little booklet by Brother Sparks called The Ultimate Issue of the Universe.
Yes.
Because it's really about two thrones.
And worship.
Two worships, yeah. And so the first thing that was on my heart when you finished today, I appreciated the prayer. The very last phrase of your prayer was learning to walk in the dignity of our calling. I don't remember the word you used, but just thought that was
majesty be another word.
The king, the dignity of our calling. But I also, I appreciate the fact that the Lord laid this on your heart, because it does provide the context for what we are facing. You know, we go through tests and sometimes they feel individual, and yet really they're not. I don't know if you were going to read that from Sparks that we printed out.
Well,
from the open windows about individuality. Yeah. But I think, okay, so in this test that we're currently facing, that really is been an ongoing one. We are either going to listen to one throne or the other to get the interpretation. Yesterday, it was, God, have you left us? You know, that's the kind of pressure, the testing, the lie that was ringing around in my head, and I was able to resist it by God's grace, but it was so prevalent. Have you left us? Have you abandoned us? But that was not the throne of God speaking. It was not the Holy Spirit speaking. It was Satan and his throne. And the very fact we're coming up against that throne and we're not backing down, I think that throne's going to hit back at us.
Big time.
And give us improper, inaccurate interpretation. So once again, what is our deliverance? The Word of God. We go back and we read Ephesians 1, we read Romans 5 and 6, we read, you know, who we are in Christ's position, and of course, even greater than that, what is God's eternal purpose and the calling for man. So, I just truly appreciate it, but I think for our listeners who want to be further shored up and enlightened, that ultimate issue of the universe is just excellent. It's who is going to receive the worthship in every act of our life, in every thought, in our, you know, the accumulation of our days. It's either the Lord or it is Satan. There's really no in between. I think if a Christian takes a neutral place, that's on Satan's side.
It's passivity.
It's, yeah, because it is passivity. So, you know, we can praise God for the immense pressure because it is driving us deeper and deeper and deeper into walking by faith and not by sight. Where eventually, one day, it won't matter what is going on around us. Won't matter what we're feeling, what others are saying. We are so, the Lord's throne is so entrenched, firmly entrenched in our hearts that it will be finished.
Yeah.
It will, and that probably is like where Paul was when he said, I have finished the course, I have fought the good fight, yeah. So anyway, I bless the Lord for the struggles, for the pressure, for even what it means to pay a price for coming up against this satanic throne in his body. What an honor. Like you said, from generation to generation, and he's chosen this generation for this to come to an end.
Take him for the final takedown.
And our first responsibility is to take that sword against our own self. And then the Lord gives us the grace to go on.
Anyone else have any thoughts? Comments? Well, let's just close with this. Thank you for that reminder of the ultimate intention. That's in the book section of Mr. Sparks. Has been our mentor and spiritual father for 40-some years. It's good to have people have a level of apostolic maturity that they can actually qualify to be fathers in the Lord. And there are a lot of young men in the Lord, and there's some young men in the Lord that have overcome the evil one, according to 1 John 2. But to be a father in the Lord is a realm and domain that will bring us into ascension union. The other message I just hinted as we were considering the word together is the book In Christ. There's four chapters, what it means to be in Christ, union with his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. And in the fourth and last chapter, he talks about ascension union. And in ascension union, he said the final phase of the church age will be a people who, and by faith, appropriate and come into ascension union. And that has to do with the end. And so that would be an affirmation. That fourth chapter of In Christ would be a way to dilate and give a framework to some of what we're considering together. And it's only as we recognize that the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that power was made effective 2,000 years ago and remains effective to those who are the believing ones. There's, you can't have unbelief. It's the exceeding greatness of your power that was made effective in Christ be made known to the believing ones. So in the Ephesians 1, the actual grammar there is characterizing those who are actively involved with faith of appropriating that resurrection union. So, amen. We want to say thanks to those that
have been led by the Lord to give us so much prayer support and wonderful ways in which our friends have from all different places of the world at this time have for whatever way in which the Lord has brought you into this particular assembly times together. We just want to say that we thank the Lord for each of you and for your thoughts and prayers for us and for many of you who have also wonderfully provided financially. We never seek that. We never ask for that. So whenever it comes, it's never because of an appeal. We know it's the Lord working in people's lives, and we just want to say thank you for your faithfulness and the way so many have supported the work here. And we continue to solicit your prayers as we have a challenge before us. We've had one final area of discipline, and this whole throne configuration has been in our midst that it's come into light. And so we pray that you would and request that you continue to pray with us as we navigate through that which will bring about a complete work of grace in that which is represented a generational throne in our midst. So I appreciate your prayers, and we all say thank you and ask God to release his fullest blessings into your life. And as we face these last days, that we even know that greater is he who is in us than he was in the world. So we give our greetings and blessings to all in Jesus' name.